Take your scriptures, would you please? Let's open to Luke chapter 24. Well, praise God. It's a great celebration. I see you all wearing nice clothing, and I want you to know that I'm not left out. I'm wearing my brand new Easter jeans this morning. That's my form of bonnet, right? We've been taking some looks at Luke, and we've been taking quite a number of them. Actually, this morning is looks at Luke number 50. And this is where we'll conclude in our looks at Luke. But we've taken a long look at a loving look. In fact, I think I'll move over this way a little bit. A loving look at this book. We've been on a powerful journey with Jesus. Powerful. We've watched him call his disciples and spend all night in prayer. And we've watched him as he has taken a little boy's lunch and fed multitudes. And we've watched him as he's healed. And we've watched him as he's raised people from the dead. And we've watched him as he's tried to talk to his disciples about what's going to happen. I'm going to go and I'm going to be crucified. They're going to literally beat me up. And it's going to be terrible, but I'm going to rise again. And his disciples didn't get it. And in the middle of his conversation, they turn to each other and they go, yeah, but who's going to be the greatest here, you or me? Do you think that'd give a little discouragement to a teacher's heart? Didn't you hear what I'm saying? I'm going to go and be killed. Yeah, but I don't care about that. What I care about, who's going to be better? Who's going to get the better seat? He had a little grief in his heart, I'm sure, from time to time as he wondered, are the disciples ever going to get it? We've spent a number of weeks on the last week of Jesus as he comes into Jerusalem and as he cleanses the money changers out of the temple. He cleanses the temple. It's a house of prayer, not a den of thieves, Jesus declares, and gets himself in trouble with the religious leaders. We find the betrayal of Judas and the denial of Peter, and then we see the Gethsemane prayer, and then we see him hanging on a cross. But this morning, we're not here to talk about him hanging on a cross. We're here to see him resurrected and come back to life again. What do we have? We have disciples that are discouraged. Come on, anybody honest with me in this room? You ever been discouraged? Come on. Once. Who said that? Once. Yeah, once in my life. They all scattered after Jesus was arrested and after they tried him and after they crucified him. They're all gone. Afraid for their own life. You've got disheartened women and you've seen a bloody crucifixion and illegal trials, and the Messiah is now gone. Even on a cross, he doesn't have peace, if you will, in his final moments. He's got one thief on one side berating him. Come on, if you're the Messiah, get us down from here. And you've got another thief saying, shut up, Charlie, we deserve this. He doesn't. Interesting. Joseph then of Arimathea. You know who Joseph of Arimathea was? Joseph of Arimathea, let me just briefly say, was one of the members of the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin was what? The Supreme Court, if you will, of Jewish law. And so Joseph goes in before Pilate and begs the body of Jesus. And they give him that body and they lay Jesus' body in a rock-hewn tomb that was brand new. No one had ever used that tomb before. By the way, it was just kind of a motel tomb. It was only rented for a few days. Because Jesus wasn't intending to stay. They put 100 pounds of spices and wrappings around the body of Jesus. The women note where Jesus was buried. And they intend to come back after the Sabbath and throw on even a few more spices. They loved him so much. They were so passionate in their heart, their love, and their adoration. Let's pick up the story in Luke 24, verses 1 through 11. Luke 24, verses 1 through 11. I'm reading from the New King James this morning. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. How many of you understand there's preparation and work that goes into adoration and worship? It's all right. It's a good thing to put work into loving the Lord. Then they went in. That's why it's good to go to church. You get up and you put effort and you get dressed in your Sunday best, whatever that might be, and you come to church. There's effort to it. That's all right. They put effort and work into coming to worship the Lord. But they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as it happened, as they were greatly perplexed. Don't you think you'd be perplexed? I saw where they laid him. This tomb has been watched over. The Jewish leaders had set a guard outside the tomb. This body was supposed to be in there. Where does that body think he's gone to? And who's taken him? They were greatly perplexed. Behold, two men stood by them. This is fabulous. In shining garments. You know what that literally means in the Greek? Flashing light, like lightning. Two angels were there, and they were flashing like lightning. There was the radiance of God coming out of them. You clearly knew this is of God. Something supernatural is happening here. I've just come to a tomb where is a place of death, and I'm supposed to find a body. I don't find a body, but what I do see is a glorious, blazing, bright, and shining light. And I hear a message from God from angels that say this. They were afraid. They bowed their faces to the earth, and the angels say, why do you seek the what? The living among the dead. He didn't say, why are you looking for the dead body? They say, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but say the phrase with me, but he is risen. Say it again, but he is risen. Now that's enough to get you excited, isn't it? He is what? He's fallen down. He's laying down. He's dead. He's gone. Never more to rise. No, he is what? Risen. Turn to each other and say, he's risen. That's good news. Remember how he spoke with you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And the third day, what? Rise again. Oh, and they remembered his words. Powerful. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to them. Can you imagine? What must have been going on in these ladies' hearts? They see an angelic visitation, flashing lightning. And he reminds them. He said he was going to rise. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Can you imagine them running back to the apostles? Whoa! Wow! I'm not even sure I understand all of this. Let's go get the guys. Let's go get the men of faith. You ladies sometimes beat us to the punch, don't you? Come on, guys. Don't say, no, it's not true. You sometimes beat us to the punch when it comes to sensitivity in the Lord. But sometimes we beat you to the punch. It's okay. But in this case, the women got there first, and they got the message. Can you imagine what must have been burning in their heart? I like to let the scripture come alive. It's not some dead old stories. But man, what must have been burning? I got to find Peter. Thomas doubts a lot, but I just can't wait to see his face when I tell him, Jesus is risen, Thomas. What must have been happening in these powerful women's heart as they returned from the tomb? It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, verse 10 says, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. What a great story to tell. Oh, then we get to verse 11. Read their words with me. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Out of the Message Bible, that verse says, but the apostles didn't believe a word of it, thought they were making it all up. Now listen, I'm not critical of these guys. These are the leaders of the Christian movement through all the world. The ladies are coming saying, he's risen just like he said. You know what they're saying? What do they say? They're looking and say, shut up. I do not believe you. In fact, it's a passionate word. It's not just, I kind of passively don't believe. It's the actively, I disbelieve you. You know why? What were they? No, these are men now. I get it. Okay, yeah, right. These are women. Thank you. That's right. Guys, that should bring us all to repentance. Every knee shall bow. You know why they didn't believe? Come on, you know why they didn't believe? It's real important. And you and I all live here because they were discouraged. I'm here to tell you this morning, a spirit of discouragement will bind a spirit of revelation in your life every single time. Listen to what I'm saying. A spirit of discouragement, and you and I all feel it. Come on. We feel it. We know what it's like. I get discouraged. You get discouraged. I get down in the dumps. Sometimes you have to look up to look down. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure what I just said, but, you know, I'm really down. Spirit of discouragement binds revelation. Spirit of discouragement keeps your eyes. So when Jesus is trying to get through and help you in the midst of your dump days, he's saying, I've got something for you. You can't see it. But it's only beginning. apostles didn't believe them, they were discouraged. Listen, you know, the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders were saying, hey, you got to guard the tomb. These guys are going to steal the body of Jesus. You got to watch out. Did this look like a group of men ready to go out and steal the body of Jesus? Do you think they were ready to run down to the tomb's door and unwrap the 100 pounds of spices and steal the body? There they were, ready to make sure Jesus is alive by at least their words. They'll steal the body. Are they plotting that? No. They're sitting behind doors, terribly discouraged, because the one in whom they had put all their hope, he was gone. I don't chide them. I felt that way myself. They thought it was the end. The apostles' disposition, the disciples thought it was the end. They were broken of heart. They were confused, and hopes were dashed, and they didn't understand, and they were not leading a plot. They were convinced it was all over. And Peter had denied the Lord, and discouragement in their soul. Hey, guys, the women weren't even expecting to find something supernatural. Come on, ladies, you can take all sorts of credit, but you can't take credit for that one in this story. The ladies didn't go expecting to see a risen Savior either. They expected to go anoint the body, the dead body of the Lord. They didn't expect to find him alive. But they certainly weren't in a mood to steal a body. It's over. It's over. They expected to find the dead. But what did they find? Stone rolled away. They found angels with shining garments. They found a message. Wake up. A new day. Come on, look at each other. Say, it's a new day. It's new beginnings. They got a message, something rumbling in their spirit and in their heart. There's a new day. It's bigger than what you think. This whole thing called walking with Jesus is bigger than what you think. It's not some dead, boring old religion where you come and fall asleep in church. The pastor's too loud for that. It's a new day. Why seek the living among the dead? The end was really the beginning. Come on, the end was really the beginning. Angels quote Jesus' words. And literally in the Greek, it means when he's going to rise again, it means Jesus is literally going to stand up. He's going to stand up again. Ever feel beaten down by life, discouraged, no more hope, things are getting down on you as well as people? And what does the Bible say? Having done all, stand. Stand up again. You think you're down for the last time? Stand up again. They're not believed, these women. You know what the word in the scripture means? It literally means the disciples thought they were insane. The disciples thought they had an insane report. Come on, anybody ever watch Tigger and Eeyore? Oh, yeah. Tigger comes bounding and, whoo, you know, hey, he's risen again. And Eeyore is standing there going, looks like rain. I don't think so. I don't think he's risen again. The Greek word means twaddle. They were telling twaddle, idle tales. They disbelieved. Notice what happens next. You know what's cool? Notice what happens next. Peter may have denied the Lord, but the scripture tells us next, Peter is the guy who gets up and runs to the tomb. I love that. Peter's the guy who got out of the boat when he was bold. Peter's the guy who's behind this closed door with these other guys. The story comes, he doesn't believe it either, but there's something burning in him. He just loves Jesus, and I got to go find out for myself. So Peter runs to the tomb. He arose and ran to the tomb, it says, verse 12. And stooping down, he saw the linen clothes. Listen to it out of the message. Peter jumped to his feet. He ran to the tomb. He stooped to look in and saw a few grave clothes. That was all. He walked away puzzled, shaking his head. Now that sounds like Peter to me. I love Peter. Could you figure this out? Come on, could you figure this out? Peter walks away one more time going, wonder what's up. I don't get it. I don't get these women. Now, we move on. We find disciples walking along the road. Verses 13 through 24. I'm just going to summarize it for you. There are two men walking along the road, and Jesus joins himself to their conversation. What are they talking about? What's happened to the Messiah? In fact, Jesus said, what are you guys talking about? And they look at him, and they say, almost like they're putting him down. And they say, are you the only one around here who doesn't know what happened to this prophet, the Messiah? We thought he was the real deal. We thought he was the big enchilada. And now he's gone. Don't you know? And then they say this, verses 22 to 24. Certain women of our company, I love this, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. Certain women of the door of grace just keep astonishing us. When they did not find his body, they came saying, they'd also seen a vision of angels. They said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said. But him they did not see. Astonished, insane, disbelief, discouragement, eyes not being able to see. And then Jesus just keeps showing up. Jesus just keeps showing up. Listen, when you're at your most discouraged, when you're at your lowest point, I want you to know that if you'll give him a chance, Jesus just keeps showing up. You got Peter, you got women, you got two disciples. Now you've got more disciples along with Peter. It's really pretty cool. Peter denied the Lord, and the scripture keeps saying, and these certain ones and Peter. Go tell my disciples and Peter. God wants to make sure Peter knows that he's included. And it's and what's really neat about these guys walking along the road, by the way, the end of this story, is Jesus begins to say to them, listen, you guys, your eyes are closed. Discouragement has clouded your revelation. You're not seeing it. And the scripture says, from the books of Moses on, he begins to expound to them the scriptures concerning himself. Now, how would you like to have been there for that sermon? Oh, my gracious. Jesus began to tell them about Jesus from the scriptures and their hearts. The scripture says their hearts burned within them literally means their hearts turned from discouragement and a roaring fire begins to burn inside their souls again. Something's burning, something's hot inside. This thing in me called hope began to die, and all of a sudden there's a fire that's rumbling and burning and roaring inside, and I'm with someone here who's talking about the Savior. I thought the Savior was gone. What is he talking about? Come on, stay with us. The Bible says they constrained Jesus to stay with them. They forced him to stay with them and tell him some more. And then in the breaking of the bread, they saw him as Jesus for who he was, and then he vanished. Let me just say something simple to you, church folks. Communion is a supernatural experience. Don't not take communion. Get right and take communion. The only reason to not take communion is because you have ought. Get rid of stupid oughts with people and take communion. Because we want to see Jesus. And when your heart's right with him and with each other, you know what? You see Jesus face to face, and you also see him with your brothers and sisters. Amen. I see Jesus in your face this morning, Vern. Turn to each other. I see Jesus there. Say that. I see Jesus there. Amen. And they say, didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road? Now we move on. These guys get up then. These two guys get up and they run on back to where the disciples are. And now we've got the 11 and Simon Peter. And they run in and they say, guys, listen. The Lord has risen indeed. Amen. Let's go to verse 36 through 46. 24, 36 through 46. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. But they were terrified. They were frightened. They supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said, why are you troubled? It's me, guys. Why do doubts arise in your heart? Listen, though. He didn't chide them. He said, behold, my hands, my feet, it's I myself. Handle me. Come on. See. I'm not a ghost. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. They still did not believe. Now it says they still did not believe. This is cool. For joy. There was so much joy inside. Is this really him? They didn't know if they should dare believe. Is this really him? We thought he was gone. We thought he was dead. Is this really Jesus? So he does what he wants to do to convince him. What do we like to do at Door of Grace after church? Come on, what do we like to do? Fellowship. And eat. Door of Grace, where eternal food is the name of the game. But what does he do? He wants to show him he's not a ghost. He's a real person. He says, okay, bring me some food. And he chows down in front of them. You know what I'm trying to say to you is he was real with these guys. He was real. And he was ministering to something that got awfully discouraged within. Something that was very, very down and couldn't get down any further. They thought it was over. And the revelation was bound up. They couldn't see. And Jesus says, I love you so much, I'm coming back to you, specifically. You. I love you. He comes to discouraged men and women. He says, handle me. By the way, you know what that means, really? Jesus can handle your scrutiny. You sit here today and you say, I don't know if I believe in Jesus. He says, come on, handle me. Look me over. Take a good look. Take a good look at the scriptures. Take a good look at the fact of the resurrection. There's indisputable proofs, and we'll talk about them in a moment. There's indisputable facts that people can argue about all day long, but they can't take away the facts of what happened. Interesting. He says, I really am the Messiah, and I really had to go through all this. 12 infallible proofs. Jesus died due to crucifixion. Jesus was buried. His disciples became depressed, lost all hope, and scattered. His tomb was empty 3 days after his death. Come on. Wasn't it? Number 5, a large number of disciples individually and in groups saw him or claimed to have seen him. They touched him. They ate with him, drank with him. They couldn't stop. That's a real story. The stories went out. I've seen him. Number 6, the disciples were literally psychologically transformed from fear to faith, from timidity to boldness, from doubters to believers, from scattered to unified, from cowards to martyrs, from depressed to joyous. Come on, say amen. They were changed. They were changed. You don't get changed just by some mental little assent. Okay, he's alive now. They saw him. They heard him. Felt him. They handled him. Resurrected Christ was central to the early church's message, especially in Jerusalem where the eyewitnesses lived, and the early church was birthed and born and spread. You can't deny the proofs of his resurrection. The end really is the beginning. Now listen what happened after Jesus' resurrection. Acts 1, verse 3. You don't even have to go there, I'll read it. Acts 1, verse 3. Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know what's cool? He was getting ready to go to his Father. He had 40 days left with his disciples to get them ready to birth something that would literally spread around the world and change all of history. He took special time. Now, all of a sudden, they understood his words in context. And then he says, now look, I'm going away. It's time for me to go. But I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will always be present with you. Let's hear the conclusion of the matter. Luke 24, verse 49 through 53. 49 through 53 of Luke 24, and then I'll quit. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. What do you have? You have discouraged men and women all of a sudden seeing him face to face, and joy begins to well up within their soul again. So what do you have as he gets ready to ascend to his Father? You've got joy, you've got worship, you've got praise, you've got adoration, as the Messiah really doesn't have an end, but he's starting a new beginning. New hope replaces the trauma. After the healthy baby is born, the mama forgets or minimizes the trauma of the delivery. The final Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, has pleased the Father. The sacrifice is finished. The door is open to relationship with God. And he ascends with worship. With worship. And the disciples are filled with great joy. Folks, there's a reason for joy this morning. There's a reason not just for joy. There's a reason for great joy. I wish every one of our circumstances were good. I wish the people that are back with us this morning had never gone through the physical trauma that they have gone through in the last several weeks. But I rejoice that you're here this morning. I rejoice that God is big enough. He knew you and He knew me. And He said, this morning, you'll be at Door of Grace. What a miracle. What a great God. Great joy. The scripture says they were filled with chara from the Greek. Calm, delight, gladness. They were all agitated and afraid. And now they're filled with calm, delight, great joy. Because the new day is here. Church, it's a day we call Easter. It's a day we talk about His resurrection. But the only reason we talk about His resurrection is because it's real. Yes. And we're here by the grace of a loving God who saw you, who saw me, and He said, you're not going to be able to deliver yourself from sin. My Son Jesus will do it for you. He died, He was buried, but the end of the story is He rose again. Amen. And the Bible says He ever lives now to make intercession for His saints. Now, what I want to ask you, what I've asked you before, and I'm going to ask you in closing one simple question. Aren't you glad He's praying for you now? Aren't you glad He's resurrected? Hey, folks, Jesus is alive. Come on, say it with me. Jesus is alive. Come on, say it again. Jesus is alive. Say it so they can hear you down in Port Ludlow. Jesus is alive. That section. Say it loud.
Jesus is alive.
One more time, louder. Come on, here we go. Everybody together, let's stand and let's declare it with thanksgiving. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Jesus is alive. One more time. Jesus is alive. Lord, we give you thanks and praise and thanksgiving. Angela, would you come to the piano, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are alive and we rejoice in you. And we give you great praise and thanksgiving for being so great, so mighty, so powerful. You're not dead, but you're alive. And you rose again and triumphed over death and hell and sin. And the reason we are here is because you are alive. We rejoice in you, Lord. Thank you for this great day. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad you've come and celebrated Easter with us. If you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, I'd be honored to pray for you after this service. Jesus is alive, and He loves you. If you need physical touches in your body and the healing God to move upon your body, we believe in the scripture which says, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. We'll be honored to pray for you. If you have anything you want to talk about in growth in the Lord in prayer, be honored to pray for you. God bless you. Have a wonderful and precious Easter. See you next week.